This is Sean with Voices of SCE. I'm speaking with Brian Heim, and you are outside of Kings Island right now. You're standing out front. Is that where you're located, or where exactly are you located?
I am I'm roughly 45 minutes from the entrance of Kings Island.
45?
I'm in Bright, Indiana.
Have you ever snuck in there at night?
I have not. I don't recommend it either.
They probably get some dogs or like maybe a badger. Maybe they just send badgers out and they just like, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, so what day and year and where were you born?
I was born June 16th, 1982 in Cincinnati, Ohio.
What are your parents' names and what were their occupations?
My parents are Scott and Dana Heim. My mom is a retired medical assistant. And my dad currently works at GE in Hebron, Kentucky.
Okay. And where'd you go to grade school and high school?
Grade school, went to Miami Town Elementary. High school, I went to Harrison High School in Ohio, moved right across the border, and wrapped up my junior senior year at East Central High School in St. Leon, Indiana.
All right, so sports and community involvement, what things did you do?
When I was younger?
Yep.
I played baseball, basketball. I did not play basketball or baseball for the school. I did it more for fun. And, you know, I got a job at 15 years old working at a family-owned hardware store, and at the time was making really good money. And so I picked up as many hours doing that as I could and then played sports on the side. Nothing too exciting.
It's all good. How did you decide to go to Ball State? What was that decision process?
Well, if I'm being honest, I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up. I visited colleges, and I narrowed it down to IU and Ball State. And at the time, I thought I wanted to go into telecommunications, and Ball State had a great program,
right?
Obviously with David Letterman being from there. And when I visited Ball State, it was a beautiful day. The weather was perfect. And just the experience of the campus and the sights, you know, immediately I was like, this is where I want to go. You know, when I visited IU, it was during a snowstorm, so that probably didn't help.
Well, that's just the irony of life, right? It shows you the right path.
Right.
All right, so when you started, what was your first connection with SCE? Who got you to the house, or did you walk there because of Rush, or what was the beginning?
Yeah, so the beginning, my first experience with SAE, well, me and some buddies from the dorms decided we were going to go out and look for a party, look for something to do. And we were walking down Riverside, and one of the brothers, Rob Haywood, he was out in the front lawn of the SAE house and said, hey, what are you guys up to? Approached us and was just really candid, you know. Said, hey, you know, if you want to come in and check this place out, feel free. I'll guide you, give you a tour. So he kind of took us under his wing for the night, and we just really enjoyed ourselves. You know, coming out of high school, I was the type of kid that thought, you know, I'm never going to join a fraternity. I'm not going to pay for my friends.
Right.
You know, that whole deal. And, you know, so we're like, well, let's just go have some fun. You know, we realized that it was a lot more than just that, right? You know, just if you're in a fraternity, you don't have to be best friends with everybody.
Right.
You know, you're getting a lot more out of it than just people to hang out with. So,
who are your pledge trainers?
Jared Nissen and Wes Van Barani.
Okay. How many guys started in the pledge class?
Oh, boy. I want to say we started with 31, 32 guys.
And then what?
We finished, don't quote me on these numbers, But I want to say it was like 23, 24.
Okay. That's kind of normal, and that's a good size class too. I think we ended up with like, I think we started with like 27 and ended up with like 22, something like that. And but our pledgeship was supposed to be 9 weeks, and it went 20, like 6 weeks. It was crazy. But anyway, and the first night of Hell Week, one of our fraternity brothers, he was a diabetic, and we found him passed away in his bed. And that was the beginning. That was hell. He was from Australia. It's terrible. So, yeah, it's bad. So when you started, and you're getting to know all the guys, and you're starting to do the parties and all the stuff. What's some of the fun moments you remember happening, like at the house, like right when you were going through pledship, or when, what's some of those first funny memories you've got?
I'd say some of the first fun memories were, it was coupled with the college experience, all together. It was a newfound freedom, right? You're not at home anymore. You're living on your own. And some of those early experiences hanging out with some of the older brothers that, while we were becoming pledges, a lot of the guys, they made it known, hey, we like you. We want you here. This is, they'd lay the groundwork, and this is what you're going to go through. Guys are going to be mean. Guys are going to be assholes. But at the end of the day, we've got each other's backs. So, and so when we would go to like the parties, when you're a pledge, the girls love you. I mean, I don't know if it was the same when you were there, but they always feel bad for the pledges. So,
Right.
anytime a guy, anytime one of the older brothers would get on us, it was just bonus points for for some of the ladies.
Some
But
sympathy making out.
yep. But I mean, not to give a boring answer, but the parties were a great time. And while, yeah, you might be doing some stupid things here and there, you were bonding with some of the guys as well.
Well, what's some
So.
of the like specific things? Like, this happened at Watermelon Bust, or this happened when we had Patty Murphy, or this happened when, like, what are some things you remember? And you can leave the guys' names out of it if you want, if it's
Yeah.
incriminating, but give me some specific memories of some things that went down, either at the house, on campus, or at a formal or something. Just some things you can remember.
Well, there was this one time we were having a party at the house, and the first couple years I was there, like you had mentioned earlier, we would have a DJ going upstairs in the informal. We would have a band downstairs, and it was a blast, right? So anytime you had a big get together like that, the end of the night always ended in shenanigans. So there was a couple of the older brothers who were very well known to go, scour through the other fraternity houses, and they would take some of us young guys with them, and we would just go through it. We would try to act like we were their brothers, just being stupid and see if they'd catch on. And we may have removed a few composites here and there, we had a little stash of composites. We ultimately gave most of them back, I think. But another thing, well, one night, and I'm not going to name names, I'm not even going to say who it was or if it was even us, but one night ended in somehow the Sigma Chi house across the street had water turned on in their basement. And that water ran for a while, and as we saw it, there was fire extinguishers that were shot all over the place, all over the house. And I think the antics like that were fun because it happened both ways, right? It happened to us too, and but those were some fun memories,
Who's your big
things like
bro?
that.
Who's your big bro?
Scott Bernhardt is my big bro.
Describe Scott.
So Scott is he's a good dude. He would get along with everybody, and he actually was in a band. He still is in a band to this day. But most people would remember him by his screaming and singing in the shower. So, yeah.
All right, so Walkout.
Yeah.
Where'd you go on Walkout?
We went to Illinois State.
And what happened? Give me something from Walkout.
Well, I ended up riding in one of my Pledge Brothers' parents' conversion van. So I lucked out. We got to ride up in a conversion van, play Madden the whole way up on PlayStation. So when we got there, and I apologize, I said Illinois, it's Michigan State.
Cool.
Michigan State, so my bad. So we get up there, and the brothers there had a bar rented out for us already. So it was closed to the public except the SAEs and then whoever, you know, they let in. And being underage, it was pretty cool because we got to drink. So that was fun. After that, people at the time, do you remember Mateen Cleaves? He was a basketball player for Michigan State. This was during the NCAA tournament, and this guy was on fire. So Michigan State was on the map, and so there was big parties everywhere. And I just remember going in. We were at some bar. I don't know. It all felt surreal because you weren't supposed to be in there, but somehow you could get in underage and drink, have a good time, and you weren't even supposed to be there. But we, at the end of the night, we ended up leaving. We started to sleep on the floor. There was nowhere to go. And we ended up getting in the car, catching a hotel, and we had like 12 guys in one hotel room just sleeping on the floor.
That's classic. All right, so who would you say was the craziest dude in the house when you were there?
Oh, my goodness. When I was a freshman, one of the seniors, Bernie Darko.
I remember Bernie. Bernie was younger than me. He's a cool cat. We went to Colorado together on a ski trip. But anyway, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just remember I remember him being pretty crazy. Corey Oden, he was another older guy who's good time, hilarious dude. But outside of those, I don't know that anyone else sticks out as being too crazy. I probably had my nose into more mischief than the average guy there. But I wouldn't say I was the craziest.
All right, so what's the situation of brother helping brother that you saw? Either somebody stepped up to help you, you stepped up to help somebody else, or you witnessed somebody really being there for a brother that was like in a hard situation. What's something that kind of flashes back to that?
Well, you know, when you ask that question, a memory did pop to mind, but it wasn't a sincere memory, like, you know, or some like a serious event in life, but. If you don't mind, I'll share the event that popped in my head at the house. So, because it is brothers helping brothers. So we were having a party one night, and you know, SAE has a reputation of treating, you know, the women with respect, right?
Yep.
So we had a party, and there was some unwanted guests at the house, I guess, and which, whatever, you know, we didn't bother the guys, but the one guy ended up slamming his girlfriend up against the wall. So we were like, bud, you got to go.
Right.
And, yeah, and he didn't want to hear it. So chaos ensued. All right, so all these guys who were not supposed to be there started throwing down, just fists started flying. And my room was right above the steps.
Yep.
We called it the penthouse.
Yep.
Yeah, the penthouse. So I come out of the penthouse and I look. These guys are brawling, and
down below you at the bottom of the stairs, right?
Well, no, it was right there at the top.
Okay.
It went down below because we had one guy. One of those guys threw a punch, and one of the brothers and I. gosh, I can't remember his name. It might have been Jonathan Roberts. I can't remember. Grabbed the guy, tossed him down the steps, and they go rolling together. And then we're brawling right there at the top. I mean, you know, there's a lot of fights. There's pushing and shoving. I mean, this was fist. Everybody's throwing fist. I think I got a black eye in this one. Sadly, one of our guys was on the steps, and one of the other guys had one of those police batons. He leaned over and cracked one of our guys in the head with that thing. So he had stitches. Might have been Jonathan that had to get the stitches. But got his head split open. But ultimately, that was a crazy brawl. Like, that was the craziest, like, fight we had had at the house.
Wow. That is crazy. All right, so to kind of switch gears, and not, obviously, you already talked about walkout. What's one of your favorite memories road tripping with the brothers in college going somewhere?
We would drive up to Windsor sometime.
Canada? You know, like for gambling or what?
Yep. Because, you know, at the time we could get up there and do everything underage. And you know, the memories you take away from that stuff are the stupid things. The laughs we have. Like, one night, you know, it's late and there's a McDonald's, right? And we're trying to walk through the drive-thru. And at the time, it's hilarious. And it's right next to a hotel. So we're walking by the hotel. There's a window with the curtains open, and you look in, there's a lady in the freaking hot tub with all the, you know, bubbles around her. You can't see anything, but we're cracking up, just waiting for something to happen. Nothing happened. We ended up walking away. But my friend had an old Chrysler LeBaron. We called it the Labo. It had no suspension. So the whole way up, we're just like, it feels like you're on a boat. And just the stupid stuff like that, you know, is the fond memories. Where you know, you're just remembering silly little things that happened that you share laughs with down the road.
Right. So, who's one of your favorite sweethearts? Well, through your time.
So Amy Lehman, she was our sweetheart. She was also my big sis, so she's got to be my favorite.
Do you still communicate with her by chance?
I am in touch with her on Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah, she married Jason Terrell, who was the president when I was a sophomore. So I think my second year, Jason was the president of the chapter, and his girlfriend at the time, Amy, she was our sweetheart.
That's awesome. All right, so if you were going to... Is there any other memories that, as you've been talking, you'd like to share that were just really cool moments?
Well,
I'm just kind of opening it up. Like, if not, it's all good. So if you were going... Go ahead.
I do have something stupid.
There you go.
Okay, so, yeah, you know, we had a remote control fart machine.
What?
And we took that into the lecture hall, and this class probably had 70 kids in it, and we put this speaker under one of our plus brothers. We put the speaker under his seat, went about 12 rows back, and started pressing this button in the middle of the lecture hall, and the place erupted. And this kid's laughing too, because he has no clue where it's coming from, you know. And it's completely disrupting the class. And the teacher laughed at the first one, but we waited about 5 minutes and we did it again. And that was funny. I guess you had to be there.
No, you didn't have to. That's hilarious. We did that in Broad Ripple. We stashed a fart machine like in between two bricks as you're on Broad Ripple Avenue, and when people would walk by, we'd hit it. And they'd look, and there'd be nothing. It was just like behind a trash can next to a wall, and so they thought like the trash can was farting. So, I've been there with the fart machine, dude. That's pretty funny. So, if you were gonna give, what do you think you really got out of SEE that really applied to business, your life, relationships, and what's a couple fun memories you've had with alumni since you graduated?
Okay, so what I got out of SAE first and foremost, and it sounds cliche, and they tell you in the beginning, is you do get lifelong friends. I have buddies that I haven't seen in a few years or multiple years now, but the second we get together, it's like we'll pick right up where we left off. So you gain lifelong friendships. You gain a networking system, right? Things that, you know, happen during the course of your life. You can ask advice. You just form a network, you know. It starts there at Ball State, and then it just spreads. You know, some guys move to California and go across the country, and so you have touch points everywhere. And the memories are priceless. I paid on student loans until I was 37 years old. Not going to lie. And that's me and my wife's. So it wasn't all mine. But while that sounds terrible, it did put us in a position, you know, we're in a comfortable situation now, blessed to be in that. And the memories, you couldn't put a price on them. I would go back and do it again.
Right. So what would you, what advice would you give to an incoming freshman about why you really like the guys and what they should get out of it?
The first piece of advice I'd give them is just keep an open mind. You know, be open to new experiences and understand that it's not a situation where you're going, you're paying for friends. It's a situation where you are becoming part of something bigger than yourself. And that opens doors for you for the rest of your life.
I agree. Yeah. I had a blast at the golf outing, and it was hilarious because they're all foursomes, and each foursome was kind of from their own age bracket. And okay, having them banter back and forth, and, you know, this is how it happened. No, but you screwed up, and da-da-da-da-da. And it was beautiful to see that no matter if they were 5 years out, 10 years out, 20 years out, 30 years out, 40 years out, I think there was even some guys that were in their 70s that were there, that they all still talk shit, and they all still support each other, and they all love the memories, and they're all still tight.
Yep.
You know, and that was a real telltale moment for myself, because being able to interview him, going, man, the shit didn't change. It always changed, but it was always the same thing. It was like, you know, crazy party stories, bonding with the brother. Like every era had all of it. It just was tweaked a little bit, you know, even what's going on today, you know, but they had to go through COVID and everything last year. And there's a bunch of active interviews that you can listen to too, about what it's like up there today at voicesofsae.com. But, I appreciate your time. I'm going to close this one out, but just stay on the line.
Okay.
All right.